Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa Dion. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator, passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery Podcast. I am Lisa DeYoung, and today I have another graduate of the Menstrual Coach Academy with me. We have Miriam Rocek today. Perfect. Thanks, Miriam. I was practicing my pronunciation there. So Miriam is, you're from Austria, right? And you're based in Austria. Yeah. And you graduated from the Menstrual Coach Academy course just recently in 2026. So we are here to chat about Miriam. Miriam also has a very interesting background. So we're going to be talking about that. And yeah, we'll just have a chat, see where it goes. Miriam, how are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing amazing. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for holding space for all of us, not only in the course, but beyond.
Oh, thanks, Miriam. That's a lovely thing to say. I appreciate that. Yeah. So let's start with an intro. So who are you? And yeah, whatever feels good for you to introduce yourself, Miriam, and maybe we can start with your work, because that's how I first got to know you, was what you shared in your application form for the Academy.
Yeah, of course we can do that. So I think I have a very diverse background. So I started with my heart's passion, studying graphics in my bachelor's degree, but then I figured it's kind of like very hands-on working, but not so much strategic planning and stuff, which I also very much like. So I then decided to go into a master's in innovational management. And there we needed to come up with a startup idea based on our own problem journaling. And for me, I think my journal went on for like 2 or 3 months. And I just then found out that my migraines, which I had very, very often at the time, were not just random occurring at random days, but were bound to my cycle phases. And I was 25 at that point. And to be honest, I was very angry figuring that out so late in my life. I've suffered from migraines since I was 17. So at that point, 8 years. And it never occurred to me, nor did any doctor try to talk me through my symptoms and when they were worse than other days. And then finding out for myself that my migraines were related to my cycle phases opened kind of like the door for me to research what else could be there in relations to the menstrual cycle, not only to the period, but then also luteal phase is where my migraines happened most. And it was funny because we needed to pair up in pairs of two for the startup project, which should be only like a uni course thing. And then I found my co-founder during that course, and he was like, he's a man, which I think is even more important in the startup space to have a man, unfortunately, say, yes, this is important to other men, you know, gatekeeping the startup scene. I mean, I don't know how it is internationally, but in Austria, 89% of investors are male.
Mm.
So they trust another male much more, even when it comes to women's health. And yeah, long story short, we got very great feedback on the whole project, the whole business case also. And then the startup went far beyond a uni project. Mm-hmm. And that was when we've developed an app. And that was when I was kind of headhunted for my job that I then applied with to your academy too, which is product innovation in the femtech sector, which is great. And I've now done this job I'm doing it for 1.5 years now, and we're very close to launch our first product, which is a fertility tracking device that measures the CO2 levels in your breath, which are known to change before ovulation. So starting with the fertile window, your CO2 levels drop and you can measure that. And if you are trying to conceive, you then get kind of like a 5 to 7 days window where you can act on your wish to conceive, which is much more time compared to LH test stripes, for example. So that's the first product that we're doing. And I've written in my application, and I think still also in my final reflection, I've come from a very technical and biological and scientific background of menstrual health. And I think that I know a lot about all those processes. But then starting the academy, all the topics that came with it and that you brought to us kind of enriched my horizon by all of this intuitive and interconnection insights and knowledge that I didn't have before. So that's my background, and also
that's
into the course already.
Great. But, yeah. No, it's great, Miriam. Yeah. Okay. So that's so interesting. So what I'm hearing is you had a personal journey with your cycle that led you to, and you were already doing your course in, what was it again? Innovation?
Innovation management. So it's basically service and product innovation.
Okay. So kind of techie kind of stuff for people who don't know what that is.
Not necessarily. It's, I think the core of it is user-centered service and product design.
Okay.
So it's always the user in the center, and it also doesn't need to be a product. It could be a service.
Service. Well. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. And then you started working on this project, and which was female health centered, and then inspired by your personal journey, and then you got headhunted to work for a startup, right? For
in it is not, which is even more amazing. I think it's the company is going to be 50 years old next year.
Wow.
It's a family company, and they were able, they're in the baby product market. They're called Mom. Uh-huh. They're widely known also in the US market. And they figured that birth rates are going down. So,
well, they're probably well placed to see that, right? The stats on that. And
Yeah. And then they were like, yeah, okay, but the target group which they're selling to isn't babies, it's moms. So moms. It's women. And then having this first product come out, which helps people to conceive or women to conceive, makes much sense to target the market or the target audience earlier than birth and having a baby, and leading them into the core business. So that's basically what they're doing.
Okay, that's clever from a business point of view. And I love that they're obviously meeting a need in the market, you know, so.
Yeah.
And then you were headhunted for them through your, well, started off as a uni course, now your full-time job. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I think it's really interesting, the whole femtech space, Miriam, because it's obviously quite new. So it's kind of like a startup within their company. It's like a...
It is, yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, gotcha.
Corporate incubator.
Corporate incubator. Okay, that's an interesting term. I love the language, you know, and especially...
It's all made up, but there is language.
We gotta find some language, right? Yeah. Okay. So, and then I love how you describe how you come from that very scientific, biological mindset and background. So what drew you to the academy course? Was it kind of more for professional or personal or both?
I've known about this course before starting my full-time position that I have now. And I figured it would be a very great synergy to exploit, so to say. And it pays off already in my job, but then also in my personal life, of course. And in my position, because we're basically a startup within the bigger company, we're only three of us. So it's three women running the whole project. And therefore, I do product innovation and product development, but I do also oversee content production, right? And that was where I wasn't quite certain in my ability to provide valuable insight and always be sure that is also scientifically correct. And that was why I started searching again for ways to deepen my knowledge.
Cool. Yeah. So you're wearing a lot of hats in your job because of the nature of
a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I can relate to that.
It's It's very agile, another word from the scene
Another
of
very agile, I
startups.
love the corporate language. Yeah, agile. So that means you're jumping around a lot and move things change, right? Yeah, okay.
But then
Okay.
also it is stressful. It also sounds stressful, I would think, but also it gives kind of a lot of power to influence how the project's going and which way the content, for example, leads women.
Love that, Miriam. That's such a good way of looking at it. You have a lot of power because you're it is at the the start of that journey, really, and yeah, okay, great. And how is that going? How is it growing? Is it like, have you launched? Where is the project at?
So at the moment, we're on the verge of launching. We tried to launch last year already, but then we do have a very high standard of quality. We do not want anything going wrong, especially where it's a medical product. So the regulatory framework is also quite strict, which is great that it is. And we should be able to launch next month.
Wow, that's oh, so it
Website.
must be busy.
Yeah, it is
Okay.
busy. Website, we did launch. So the product has a website, an app, and the device. And the website is launched. So one of three is launched, and the app is already deployed, but not launched within the App Store yet.
Cool. Okay.
So
Okay, great. So tell us
only
like
the device missing.
Only what?
Only the device. The most crucial part is
Is
still
not ready, yeah.
not
Well, I
launched. Yeah.
suppose these things, we work backwards with these things, don't we? Because I
Yeah.
understand that. So
Measuring, as I said, the CO2 levels in your breath.
tell us then, for someone who is like curious about how the like I'm curious about how the product works, like as an end user, do they buy a physical device and then it's connected to an app, and then what do they do?
Basically, exactly what you've said. So there's a physical device. It's a handheld device. I brought it. It
Oh,
is
great. Yeah.
and you just breathe into it for 1 minute a day. So you don't blow, you just breathe into it. So what we're doing is the device is measuring CO2, but what we're showing the user is information about their fertile window
So
and
you're,
cycle phases.
yeah, so the science helps the app to predict their fertility window and give the user a sense of it. This is probably kind of what's happening.
Yeah, it's not about prediction. It's much rather
Okay.
about what's happening right
In the
now in
here
your
and now.
body.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. So it's kind of okay. Okay, Miriam, that's really interesting. You must be so proud to have been on that journey and see that project from like an idea to launch.
Yeah, I am quite proud. I think the most amazing thing about it is to see what a team of women can do, right? We're three people. One of us also has a child, which is 2 years old. So there's a lot. And yeah, my boss is pregnant. So there's a lot of,
Reality.
reality and a lot of women power. And I think that's what makes me most proud, is being part of a team that can achieve things like that, because some points weren't easy, but we've kind of done it. So fingers crossed for next month.
Amazing. Okay, we'll have to keep an eye out and celebrate you. That's so exciting, Miriam. How cool is that, and very innovative. And I've never heard of CO2 le levels being measured for fertility, so to bring that out into the mainstream with a really handy gadget and then an app, for women and people who are wanting to track their fertility. It's just so exciting, really great. Okay, so you joined the course. Did you get funding? Do you mind if I ask you that? Did you get some support to
Of course.
join the course?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough that my company funded like the whole thing for me.
Okay, that's an advertisement. So
Yeah,
if you're working for a company that can benefit from being on the course, I will make sure we can get you over an assigned invoice from me and ensure that can happen all legally and everything. And I do encourage people to source funding, in different ways
do
for
that.
whatever, for your business, for the course, in all sorts. I've gotten funding for things, and there's your innovation brain, Miriam, asking for help. So I love that. That's great. So you did the course. So how was your experience on the course? Because me as a facilitator, I do get a lot of people asking me, "Oh, is there going to be enough science and information on the course? And will I be, they're almost asking me, are they going to be medically trained, after the course?" And it's the Menstrual Coach Academy, so we focus a lot on coaching skills. But you coming in with a science background and a kind of an interest in that, and then it not, well, it's not that we don't do science, but we do take a different approach in the course. I'm wondering about your experience of that, Mariam.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked that, because I did expect more biological insights, not scientific, but more of like the basic biology and stuff. And I'm glad that it went other than I expected, because to give an example, I wasn't quite sold on the concept of the cycle seasons. So for me, I always tried to stick with scientific back information and things. And then the seasons, I didn't quite understand them, to be honest. And for me, they sounded kind of like, now I don't have the word in English, kind of like a little woo-woo and hocus pocus. But that's not the word that I was looking for. It's
like a bit vague.
Yeah, vague, and when you also relate to star signs and things, what's the
Oh,
word
yeah,
for
like
that?
pseudoscience.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, not,
Thanks.
yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was just because I didn't understand basically what to do with them. And then going through that system and learning about, yeah, we're not calling the seasons to compare them to the outer seasons exactly, but to make visible something that otherwise wouldn't be visible, to relate to energy rising and ebbing, or to what I found most interesting was the correlation between opposites, which I didn't know before. And I'm glad that I got to learn this, and then also that I got all the experiences from our cohort, because I think the cohort was extremely diverse, right? We had someone focused on herbal medication, someone that was very, or someone, some a lot of people that have been working with inner seasons for a long time and had much, much to tell about how they integrate that. And I think that that's what made it most special for me, to hear what they've took away from, for example, the inner season theory or practice, and then figure out for myself what I can take away from it, and to see that there's not one way of putting things, and that I can still tie my scientific background to something that is much more intuitive and that is much more based on what I am feeling inside rather than what I know is biologically happening. And that's something that was like the red line throughout the whole course for me, from my experience, that I learned. And this is something I was never able to do in that way, that I've learned to just listen inside and to see what's there and what I'm feeling, and to also validate what I'm feeling, rather than just being looking for data or science-based info. And combining those two, I think, makes much sense, because that we know also from science, there's no body that is like the same as any other. And so you can't just have like a blueprint or a one-size-fits-all solution. And of course, that can't exclude intuitive or lived experience.
Yeah. That's so insightful, Miriam. And I love that you mentioned that, because I suppose, you know, the science is kind of, well, you're obviously working on progressing it, but generally it's behind. So we're kind of catching up, aren't we? Yeah. And the lived experience is very important. And then that you mentioned the diversity in the room. It's really interesting that you're saying this, and that you're saying like that these were your expectations, but then it was different. And then you're glad that it was different. And I actually had a conversation with my supervisor about this only last week. I was talking about, should I bring in somebody, like bring in more biology, bring in more science into the course? And like, whether I do that or not is another question. But one of the things that we were discussing was that sometimes the data and the science can actually become a distraction from Not that it's not important, it's very important, but it can become a distraction when we're focused on the body wisdom and the intuitive stuff and the skill set. So I'm sitting with that question myself right now and wondering, okay, how much of it is would be a distraction, or how much would it be kind of supplementary, etc. But it's just great to hear you talk about that, because you, as a, me as a facilitator, and you as a student, you really embraced something that was very outside of your, like, your norm, right? You really embraced it, and you were so open as well in the program. You were a great student.
I think if someone is starting a course, you need to be open, right? You at least need to try to be.
So true. Yeah, that is really true. Yeah, 100%. Any course, really. So tell us then, where are you at with that now? In you've come through the course, you're happy with how it went, and then you're going to marry the two together. So yeah, what's the plan for you?
That's a great question because I haven't figured it out 100% quite yet, but I did start working on what I felt very true to myself, what I wanted to bring into this, into the coaching or menstrual coaching niche with what I've experienced rather than learned, because for me it was a lived experience, and all the knowledge that I gained on the way just bound into that experience and into that journey of growth. And so I started to come up with my own concept of what I would like to offer as a menstrual cycle coach. And for me, that is not what I would suspect first when hearing the word, like the phrase menstrual cycle coach. For me, that would be very much focused on a menstrual cycle and on, for example, pain management or education around the whole cycle. The whole around cycle health, but rather to have a holistic approach in women's coaching, because I think in the medical system, also in therapy, sometimes if you don't get lucky, the cycle is either picked out and focused on as a separate part from everything else, or it's not acknowledged at all. And I think they don't make sense at all, because we're one system, right? And that is my key insight that I took from the course, is that there needs to be a holistic approach. And that's what I like to do, is to combine the nervous system work we've done with the menstrual cycle insights, and then also the inner critic work, because from my experience, they are bound together so tightly. And yeah, that's the project I'm working on. I called it Femesis, which is based on Nemesis, the goddess of bringing balance back into systems that were pushed out of balance. So biologically, intuitively, mentally, so you can bound everything or combine everything together in one approach and show where the individual journey of the coach and the coach is going to head.
Amazing. Yeah, that's really clear. I love that you're taking that away, because, that's what I see in my own work as well, is that when we work with that holistic approach, people get better results generally, like, and I love that you've said, like, yeah, and obviously in a lot of places the menstrual cycle isn't acknowledged, like your experience with migraines that you mentioned. And then now with a lot of the menstrual cycle work, it's kind of the only thing that's focused on. And I don't think that's sustainable either. When you finish your coaching then, or your whatever it is that you're doing, then what? So yeah, that integrated holistic approach, I think, has it can take longer, but I think it's more sustainable for people who are really suffering. I love hearing your reflections. It sounds like you've really taken the time to reflect on your journey in the program, which is one of the things we were doing all the time, right? Reflecting. I was always like, reflect. So tell us then a little bit about your experience with the group.
It was the best. I think it was like finding your support system away from any place you would think to find a support system, because we're so scattered around like the whole world, right? And also meeting people that I think I wouldn't have met otherwise, or I wouldn't have befriended, and then also learning that it's okay for others to hold space for you, because for me it's always easy to hold space for people and to be there and to listen and help, but then having them or having others hold space for me feels kind of like being a burden, and that's something that never came up, like in the academy group, but also in the smaller process groups. It felt like very safe space to be in and to be held in, and it was so surprising that this feeling was there from the very first time we've met in the process group. And it was clear we set our rules and boundaries within the process group. And it was clear that we are all coming from our own place of wanting to grow and also wanting others to grow. And finding this is so valuable, I think.
That's beautiful. And I guess because in the process groups, just for people who don't understand, that's this we do lecture days on a Saturday once a month, and then we are broken down into smaller groups with your own private group. And that's when you do practice coaching. And I suppose then maybe it's somewhat easier to let people hold space for you because they're also learning, right? And they're practicing their skills, and then you get to practice your coaching skills too, right? You mentioned as well earlier about getting to know the inner critic, and you said live well, we were talking about this earlier. You mentioned about living in peace with your inner critic, or and or integrating the critic. And tell us, like, why were you know yeah what was your experience of that, and why was that helpful on the program and relevant to the menstrual cycle?
I think that I could talk too much about it. I think for me, the inner critic is always something I shied away from because it was too loud my whole life. So I grew up not being very rooted in my intuition because I think I wasn't allowed to also. So there's always been decisions made for me. And then if I somehow made a mistake, there was no room for mistakes. And then I've learned that that's a very bad thing to do. And if that happens, there has always been this very strong inner critical voice that was not very helpful. It was very like demeaning and yeah, I couldn't find anything positive about it. So I wouldn't necessarily try to get to know it better, but I much rather just pushed it away or pushed it down. And then I don't know why I've looked through all of the bonus material from the Menstrual Coach Academy, and the one thing that immediately stuck out was the getting to know the inner critic meditation. And then I did it, and I think it's like 15 minutes, right? So it's not very long, and you can do it easily in one sitting. And I've just learned that my inner critic is my inner child. It's the same. And we've been through a lot, and we've been lonely a lot of the time. And she's just trying to shield me from that again, from living through that again. And everything that she says comes from a place of loving and taking care and trying to do or to have better for us, because she can't know that we did better and we are better. And just acknowledging her and her feelings helped so much. And now when she comes up, I know where she's coming from, why she says or thinks what she does, but I do not need to believe that anymore. So that's what I found out for myself. And I think that is also something that is socialized into women a lot, having a very strong inner critic, an unnecessarily strong inner critic, and not being able to reflect on that or not being given the tools, because it's not something that I believe it's not something that we should be able to break free from in our system, in the patriarchy. And that is why I think it's crucial to include that into menstrual cycle coaching when you see that approach as a holistic women coaching.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your experience with that, Miriam. Yeah, it's a big topic, isn't it? We could do a whole other podcast on this topic. And I love that you, it's funny how even your approach to watching that video came from your intuition.
It, but you need to train it, I think. I think you need to be given tools to start trusting your intuition again, but then also you need to train it.
Yes. Yeah, because it can be hard to discern if it's fear or if it's intuition, or sometimes the inner critic can be very ambitious and just wants the best thing for you or whatever, and exhaust you in the meantime. So yeah, a lot of discernment involved, and it sounds like you got a lot of benefit from that. And you're right, I also agree with you that working on the inner critic is so important, because if we do think about it through the science lens, well, in my science is nervous systems, like neuroscience lens, the polyvagal theory, the inner critic is going to activate the fight or flight response, which is a stress situation and inflammation, etc. So for someone to heal, we need to support them to build their capacity for ventral vagal, the rest and digest response. And it's very difficult to do that if we are self-abusing inside of ourselves, So yeah, it's a bit of process work, isn't it? And it's a bit of can be quite difficult and tender, but at the same time, if you're doing it with other people and in a group where everyone is kind of exploring that together, it makes it a little easier. But what a wonderful insight that you realize, oh, this is my inner child, and I can be compassionate towards her and mind her and listen to her and then be the one in charge, Yeah, so what a gift to give to yourself. And then with regards to your intuition, because I know that's a topic that you love to talk about as well, where are you at with that now since the program?
I think I'm still training it. So I believe that I wasn't in touch with my intuition for a very long time before starting the course. Also, given external reasons, I was not able, or I didn't feel able to kind of negotiate better than I did. And coming into the course, I've shared this with you in my final reflection, right? I wasn't even sure if I should put something else on my list. So I was looking forward to the course for a very long time. And then I wasn't sure if I could handle it, like the time spent on the calls, and then also the, because if I do something, I want to do it right. That's always been the case. And then I just told myself, okay, I need to be softer. I'm trying to start, and if it doesn't feel right, I will allow myself to stop. And then in the first call, you've said the most important thing for us, or for you guys, is to know what you need. Turn off the camera if you need it. Don't come to the lecture days if you can't. And I feel like that was your gift to us as the most important learning to re find the trust in our intuition, or to rebuild trust in our intuition by giving us the opportunity to do so. Because in my, in the corporate world, you can't act on intuition alone.
No.
And then sometimes I think it's easy to lose it, to lose the feeling of, can I do it based on my intuition, or do I need to rationalize everything?
Yeah.
And starting a project like FEMESIS, my coaching project, I think in month three felt very intuitive. So I just tried to let out what I felt inside and tried to negotiate with myself. That's my intuition speaking. How can I bring this into something kind of like a business model or like a coaching offering? And always starting with the intuitive part of it and not trying to rationalize it at the very beginning of the process. And now my challenge is to trust my intuition to carry the project further, I think, and to really do it, to get it on the road. So I started coaching. I started to practice coaching, and it went great. But I didn't think that it would, The inner critic was very loud, but I did it either way. I trusted my intuition, and I think for me, it's a very big ongoing process still. But yeah, having skills to also negotiate things that are out of the norm helped me understand what my intuition is able to do. Because I understood having the skills to being able to regulate my nervous system, or should be able to n regulate. I did understand that I wasn't able, and then I've shared this in the course. I got my ADHD diagnosis at age 28, and I thought, or I was wondering, I think since I was 16, if I may have ADHD, but I wasn't skilled enough in expressing what was happening until giving a toolkit. And I think the more you learn about yourself, or the more support also you get in navigating through your inner processes, the bigger your intuitive guiding, how to say it, the more space your intuition can take on, because you're able to trust it even more.
Amazing, Miriam. That's such a powerful reflection. I love that. Yeah, it's such a cool topic. And I guess the re one of the speaking from my perspective, one of the reasons why I prioritize you guys to follow your capacity, that's another thing, because there's like new moms on the course and people who are pregnant and people going through perimenopause, etc. So all our capacities are very different. And every single year I get people who say, like, I don't know if I can do this course, and do I need to come to every lecture, and I'm tired, etc., etc., you know, which is very normal. But because, I mean, if I was teaching brain surgery, then I probably would, you know, or astronomy, or like whatever the astronauts study to fly to the moon. I don't know what course they take, but like something very where you have to know every detail, then I probably would have a different standard. But the nature of what I'm certifying you in has to match your experience on the program, right? So if you guys as graduates are menstrual cycle coaches for vulnerable women, helping them through their own bodily wisdom and intuitive guidance, etc., then we have to have an embodied experience and experiential learning on the program. And you took to that so well. So I'm so glad that you received my guidance and my instruction. But it can be very triggering, can't it? If you're so used to, like, I need to tick all the boxes and do things right. But then I always say, like, following your capacity and your intuition, that is the way. Move through the discomfort. That's the thing I want you to do. And then it's like, oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, shit, this is different to what I've done before.
Yeah, and it makes much more sense to do it that way. If you taste how it could be, you don't
Yeah.
want to go back.
No, exactly. Totally. And then it becomes a lot easier to coach when you're not just coaching from your, like you said, your rationale or your head only. If we're only coaching from our head, my God, we're going to be driving ourselves mad, because there's endless amounts of information and we're never going to know it all. And like you said, every woman is different and there's so much diversity in the space. So how can we possibly know every single tiny detail of what to do with every single client, you know? And they've already been through the medical system and it's failed them. So how can we as a coach know more than the medical system in relation to the medical side, you know? It's just not really possible. So yeah, the coaching, I think I just like, I'm just very biased because I think the coaching is very powerful, isn't it? The relationship with self, and then supporting your client to, you know, do that inner healing work has such profound benefits on their biology, I think, you know. So, and I see it every single day. So I'm going to continue down my path.
You should, Lisa. I'm gonna sign everything you need me to sign. So just, you should.
Thank you. Thank you.
But
Yeah,
then
because I feel
also,
the pressure, you know, I feel the pressure to like become this medical person. I'm like, it's not who I am, you know?
But I think circling back to what you've shared about thinking of including more biological or science-based scientific insights, you could do that as kind of like an added resource.
Yes, yeah, and I
I
think I
wouldn't.
will. Yeah.
I would not. I mean, I'm not the one to tell you what to do, but I wouldn't change anything about the course. I think it's perfect as it is. And I believe every woman in the course in our cohort had their own journey from PMDD to pain to going through perimenopause. So the intuitive and the embodied experience is the most important part for us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. And like you say, there are bonuses in the course, and I'm well, yeah, I tend to look out for things that would be supplementary and extra, like nice to haves, as opposed to but yeah, I am actually looking for, it's funny that I've been looking for someone to come and do a talk, and it was actually because I started that research a year ago, and I kept coming up against roadblocks. And I was like, well, this is interesting. So we'll see where that goes. So, okay, a couple last questions before we close, Miriam. You mentioned about the idea of having a healthy skeptic. I think that's really important. It's important to have healthy skepticism, you know. Where are you at now with the inner seasons?
With the inner season, I think I've took away what made most sense for my experience so far, and I'm still trying to try out new things. For now, I'm trying out to, instead of tracking with the seasons or the cycle phases, track with the Via Positiva and Via Negativa, because this stood out for me, and it made so much sense to me, much more sense than counting in spring and summer for the positive seasons, because my cycle much more, or the energy shifts in my cycle much more relate to the Via Positiva and Via Negativa. So my approach to it is to try out what feels right, and then also give myself the option to neglect it if it doesn't feel right after having tried
Love that.
to
Yeah.
integrate it. So
I love when you say like, oh, yeah, I give myself permission to just not do it. I do that all the time. So I'm like, that doesn't work for me. Sorry. I don't have time for that. But yeah, great. And just for context for the listeners, the language Miriam is using, via positiva and via negativa, was language used by one of my teachers, Alexandra Pope, to describe, I guess, the undercurrents of the season. So it's a little bit, it actually is a kind of a more advanced level than the kind of inner seasons. It's because inner seasons has become a little bit more mainstream. But if you think about the moon, we have, say, if you were to cut the moon in half and you have this like waning moon and a waxing moon. So the waxing is where the light is growing, and then we have the full moon, and then the waning is where the light is dimming, and then we have the new moon, the dark moon. So she's talking about that, like that this cycle has the light and the dark, the shadow and the light, the feminine, the masculine side, instead of the four pieces of the pizza. And it's easier to for Miriam to tune into that. And I could actually relate to that too, you know. So my teacher, Alexandra, she always asked us, like, are you a via positiva woman or are you a via negativa woman? Do you have a preference?
I would think I'm a Via Negativa woman,
Me
but I
too.
didn't think that that would be the case so far.
Yeah, you
So
probably thought because of your ambition and your
yeah.
drive and your science background that you're via positive, but your nature, you feel like your soul is like via negativa. Gotcha. Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, because we are conditioned to be in the via positiva, the go, go, go all the time, aren't we? And we're brilliant at it, but we're also tired. We need another way. Yeah,
Very much
we need
so.
another way. Amazing. And so what would you say to someone listening, if they're thinking about joining the course? And yeah, what would you say to them?
I would say, first of all, if you're able to try to get funding, because it worked miraculously easily for me.
Amazing. It's meant to be. Yeah.
So try to explore that route, because I think budget sometimes could be a make or break factor. And then be open-minded. If you decided to take the course, be open-minded, try new things, hold space for other people that you might not be able to hold space in other scenarios, and trust your intuition.
Love that, Miriam. Thank you. And yeah, I love that you mentioned the funding. I think that is really important. Sometimes we don't even think to ask or to look into it, and it's there.
I would have a very long time I wouldn't have dared to ask,
Yeah,
but
and
it
look how
worked out.
easy it was.
So
Yeah, because for companies, it's not a huge amount, you know, and they want you to be trained up in different things. And then for people who don't have access to that, I do offer payment plans without charging you extra. And also, if you need a longer payment plan, you can just contact me and we can sort that out for you. And that's no bother as well. So you can get an extended payment plan without interest. Anything else, Miriam, do you want to share, like where people can find you? Yeah.
Sure. So I've just put my website online. It's in German still, but I'm gonna translate it to English also. It's under femesis.studio, and the same goes for Instagram. And I'm happy if someone wants to find me. And I think the last thing I would like to say is kind of adding to what you've said earlier. The only thing that you need to be really sure about is trusting your client to know what they need and trusting your intuition to be able to pick up on that.
Tell us more about that. That's a good
I think
closing.
that's it, because for the first coaching that I took outside of like the space of practicing in the course was I was so confused. I was a little lost at, I think the first 25 minutes, and then I was like, I don't need to fix anything. Like, I'm not a medical professional. I just need to listen and to find out what she's telling me, and I will be able to pick up on something. And then there it was. But I, for the time that I was stressed about trying to think of something to say, I kind of like withheld my intuition from entering fully into the conversation.
Wow. So you felt, go on.
Yeah, and I don't need to bring the topics to the discussion because the client's gonna bring them. I just need to pick up on them. And I
Yeah.
think it's much more easy than we
Oh my
may
God, amazing. You're
imagine.
like, holy shit, this is so much easier. I
Yeah.
don't have to plan
Yeah.
everything. Yeah, so but that is a skill that takes a lot of practice, and you're doing it, and you got it on the course, and now you're doing it in real life. So what I'm hearing you say is you were with a client for the first 25 minutes of them talking. It was you felt confused, and then you were able to catch your confusion and sort of put it to the side for a second and drop into yourself and drop into listening and
Yeah.
being more present and curiosity, it sounds like.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you weren't distracted by the thoughts of, oh, I'm confused.
Yeah, and then also about I was letting go of the pressure that I need to bring something of value to the table because I was just there in our A, I think it was the A to B to C offering. I've decided that I just want to hold space, whatever that means. And
Beautiful. Yeah.
circling back to that, it was easier, much
Yeah.
easier.
You just show up and you've got your tools there if you need them. But that's a really, really powerful way to coach. That's how I coach now too, Miriam. And it's like we've got all the tools, but let's just put them to the side, because what's happened to this person, this woman in front of us, most likely is they've not been heard. So the medicine you can bring is let's just listen and see where it goes, you know, and trusting yourself to say not even the right thing, but we can just trust ourselves with what we say next. That is so powerful. And I bet you anything you were picking up on, maybe because I would be talking because I'm like, oh, my supervision brain is coming on now. It's like you were feeling confused. She probably was feeling confused, and you were probably picking up on all her confusion that she's been through and all of the circles she's been going around. I don't even know the client. I haven't asked you about the client, but I imagine she's been through stuff, you know, with her cycle, and there's confusion there. And that can happen is we pick up on the confusion and then all this stress happens. So Miriam did a great job of like navigating the coaching skills that we learn in the program with her. And you were happy with the session after?
I was very much happy, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she also, some days after, she wrote the feedback of, I felt seen for the first time. And I was like, yes, thanks. Thank you so much. Thanks
Oh my
for
God, I'm gonna
sharing.
cry. Oh my God, Miriam. Like you were able to live in a coaching session, detangle yourself from a complex dynamic and give her what she's
Yeah.
never had before.
I hope so.
And by the courage to get out of your own way, you know? Wow. Keep up the great work. So good. And are you then bringing this, where is it kind of more your keeping your coaching separate, or are you bringing some of the stuff you've learned in the program into your job as well?
I'm trying to figure that one out at the
Okay,
moment.
TBC.
So yeah, I've just talked to my team lead about exactly that. So we haven't figured that out,
Okay.
but
That's
yeah,
okay. We're
let's see.
we're on the journey.
We're on the
Well,
journey.
I'm very proud to have you working there as one of my graduates. That's so exciting, you know, and to have a little bit of the work that we're doing in the program, you know, You bringing that to a company, that's really, really cool. You know, just even whether it leads to anything or not, but just having that mindset and that understanding of like this woman more than anything needs to be heard and listened to, you know, just to have your understanding of that in the company is just incredible. So how exciting. Anyway, Mareem, I will be sure to link your beautiful new website and your Instagram in the show notes. And that's it. Any nice plans for the weekend?
Yeah, so now I'm gonna head off for scouts because I'm scouts. I don't know how to say leader for the smallest one, so like 5-year-olds.
Oh,
And
gorgeous. That's
yeah,
so lovely.
we're starting the outside season
Okay,
this
great.
afternoon.
Great. Oh, well, you better
And
go. Yeah.
I need to go. We need
Yeah.
to find some natural materials to then do little pictures with.
Oh, lovely. That's such a lovely thing to do on a Friday afternoon. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much, Miriam. Thanks everyone for listening, and have a great rest of your week. And oh, if you're interested in joining them, I forgot to plug the Menstrual Pledge Academy. We're starting, as you know, I've mentioned it every episode, July 2026. Head on over to the link down in the show notes and you can read all about it there. We've got a website and an information booklet. And if you have any questions, you can just get in touch with me. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.